The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And a good evening, everybody. A special Sports Talk 1240 coming right at you. Jake Brown, Sean Mirage, a.k.a. Mirage, at Sean Mirage, CBS. On Twitter, you can follow me at JB Sports Radio and follow us at Sports Talk 1240. So much to get into tonight and not much time to do it. How's everybody doing? October 19th, 631-888-8811 is the number to call. And Luke Halpert at I Am Luke Halpert controlling the social media feed. Let's get right into it, Sean. Obviously, Sean produces the DA show on CBS Sports Radio overnight, and he as well is a huge Giants fan. We watched the game today. The Giants lose 31-21 in an absolute heartbreaker to the Cowboys. And Sean, let's break it down from the start. Something that me and you were talking about before the show. The play calling by McAdoo in this game was an absolute nightmare. It made you scratch your head, run. And it started with the first three plays where they ran it three times in a row.
It does not make any sense. You're talking about a team that's just a week removed from scoring 30 points at a clip three straight games. You're going up against a Cowboy defense that, yes, they have a bunch of no-names that have played better than expected this year, but not a great defense by any stretch. To come right out of the gates like that, knowing you need to make a statement coming off that shutout and to run the ball three straight times, just set the tone. I understand you want to establish the run, but you could overdo it as well. You don't even have your top back and Rashad Jennings in there. It was the wrong way to set the tone, and it just set up for a bad day of play calling.
And really, the play calling is kind of changing because of that they don't have Jennings. But if that's the case, why would you run it when you have a quarterback like Eli Manning? And by the way, the offensive line today wasn't that bad. I thought they were, I mean, 1,000 times better, Sean, than they were last week against the Eagles, which was an absolute disaster. Now, they run the football poorly, 51 yards for Andre Williams. Peyton Hillis, you know what? He's no longer the Madden cover player that he was.
No, he's there to pass protect. That's it.
He should really just be a receiving back. All he does, he can really maybe get you a one-yard run up the middle.
Receiving back? He had a huge drop late in the game, too.
I mean, talk about drops. Larry Donnell had two fumbles. One didn't matter, but one happened when the Giants were down 7, and that just contributes to all the things that went wrong. You had the horrible play calling by Ben McAdoo. Every first down, if you watch this game, every first down, he runs the ball. How much more predictable and conservative can you get? Can I see a damn play action with the best Giants quarterback in a long, long time and the future Hall of Famer, who, by the way, did tie Y.A. Tittle today for 18th all time?
Passed him.
What he did? Passing touchdowns.
Exactly.
Let him throw the rock, please, Sean.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And you know what? Again, I mentioned, you establish the run, yada, yada, yada. No problem. I know Victor Cruz is down, and maybe they were a little shell-shocked going in, and they wanted to give the offensive line a little feel for the game. But every time they lined up on a first down, it seemed like they were just sitting there, turning around, handing it off to Andre Williams, who's still very hesitant. He's a guy who needs to be a part-time back to start his career off. Put the ball in Eli's hands. Reuben Randle played well today. He made a couple big grabs. Odell Beckham was
a factor. Beckham's showing us that he could be the guy that replaces Victor Cruz.
Exactly. Now, listen, it's hard to replace a guy like Victor Cruz, but if you're watching Odell Beckham grow up in front of your eyes, and maybe Randle, in a way, needs the Cruz injury to kind of cement himself, if you will, the receivers are there. I know Larry Donnell fumbled, but he's playing great.
90 yards, 7
catches. Exactly. Preston Parker, he's still pretty good in the slot. The Giants have enough weapons to go around where you need to let Eli make plays. Eli, by the way, who was 4-1 coming into this game in AT&T Stadium, just bad play calling all around. It's probably the first time I could say that, honestly, all season. I haven't had a problem with Ben McAdoo's play calling. He dropped the ball big time today.
Yeah, you didn't have a problem early because the offense was still adjusting to this new playbook. They win the 3 in a row. They get in a rhythm, and then they take a major 2 steps back last week. But this was a game you looked at. that they could really win. The Cowboys didn't really, you know what, they're good. Let's admit it, they're good. They're a 6-1 team, probably the best offensive line in football. The Zach Martin pick looks like a pick made from the heavens above. It was incredible.
They to built get with Zach their Martin. Line, and it's smart.
And that's how you, here's the thing in football, that people don't realize how important an offensive line is. It really trickles down from the offensive line to everything else. An offensive line allows you to run the football. An offensive line allows you to mix the run and pass. An offensive line lets you use the clock and time of possession, which keeps the defense off the field. And because of the successful run game by DeMarco Murray, who had a record-breaking seventh straight game, 100-plus yards, because of that, your defense is so well-rested. And don't tell me the Cowboys have talent on defense, because they don't. They've just had the luck of the draw by not being on the field much, and their team dominating time of possession. And how about DeMarco Murray? This guy has just broke out on the scene. We always knew he was a solid running back.
So he's been in health with him, too, and he's healthy.
And he's the MVP this year.
Without a doubt. And just watching him go up there, and they showed the graphic on Fox, I think he's only behind Terrell Davis and another back there for most yards through seven games. It's unbelievable the job he's doing. And you know what? It's setting them up to be able to – you got to bite on the run and play the run and allows Romo to make the play. And we have a receiver like Dez Bryant. You have the tight end like Jason Witten. It's unbelievable. And I'll say this. As good as he's running and as good as the Cowboy offensive line is, the Giants pass rush – you have KPP there. Kiwanuka's a first-round pick. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of every game, every quarterback sitting back there and having all the time in the world. You know, the Giants needed to bring in an offensive coordinator that could get Eli to get rid of the ball quicker to make up for their deficiencies on the offensive line. It doesn't matter what kind of offense you run against the Giants defense. That pass rush is so overrated. And even if the front four isn't getting there, they don't have the horses they used to with their NASCAR package. Can Perry Fuel come up with different adjustments and different ways to blitz? It's insane.
It was three or four guys and that was it. Everyone's dropping back, and then Roma's got all the time. He has so much talent with his receivers that they can find ways to get open. And that Giants pass rush, there's a reason I started the show with Centuries by Fallout Boy, because Tony Romo had Centuries to throw the football. He was firing to Dez, to DeMarco, to this guy Escobar, who, hello, two touchdowns out of nowhere. Guarantee he's available on 100% of fantasy waiver wires, or whatever you want to call it. I bet you didn't have him on your FanDuel team this week. He had two touchdowns and 65
yards. Speaking of FanDuel, you know what? Just look at whatever tight end is facing the Giants in coming weeks and play them. Because this team,
start them
year after year, can you cover a freaking tight end?
I mean, and they had no problem with winning, 27 yards, two catches. But Escobar has those two touchdown catches. The Giants lose 31-21, and it's a frustrating loss indeed. Again, you're listening to Sports Talk 1240 right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Jake Brown and Mraz, the producer of the DA show, who you may have seen gone viral for crying over Derek Jeter. You know what? He's been attached to Jeter for 20 years. For his whole life. Sean, you were 27, correct?
27,
so
yes.
So he's lived and died with Jeter. He let out some tears. Maybe got a little too emotional, but you know what?
You never get too emotional.
He had his 15 minutes of fame. And you know what? Now everyone knows Mraz. And it's a very good show. I mean, I don't like to promote other shows here at Sports Talk 1240, but if you're overnights, if you're a zombie on the overnights, listen to the DA show. But you're listening to Sports Talk 1240, and we're breaking down the Giants, who right now are in trouble. Now, when we look ahead, we broke down this game. You look ahead at the Giants' schedule. Here's the problem, Sean. 3-4. And look at the schedule coming up. You have the Colts coming to MetLife Stadium, who are on a 5-game win streak, who just shut out the Bengals and made Andy Dalton's team look like a bunch of schoolgirls.
And Andrew
out
Luck
there.
Might be the best quarterback in football right now.
And Andrew Luck, you know what? Andrew Luck is my MVP. You could call DeMarco Murray the MVP. Andrew Luck is tremendous, and he's the future of this sport, and he's the reason why people are excited to watch football the next 10 years. And you see him after the game. If you watch the post game, I mean, this guy is goofy as all hell, but you love it. He's crediting his defense for shutting out the Bengals. He didn't say, oh, great job by our offense, great job here. You see so many guys who are just selfish and about them and about their offense and about the receivers. He said, you know what? Hats off to the defense. They scored 27 points, and he's crediting the defense. I love Andrew Luck. You have the Seahawks in Seattle, and, I mean, the Seahawks, can we just say, what the heck's going on with them right now?
Boy, you look at the four straight games they've played. They have three losses now, and their one loss, they blew that lead to Denver. And let's be honest, if they lose that coin toss and Peyton Manning gets his hands on the ball, you could be talking about four straight losses by the Seahawks.
And
we'll get into the Percy Harvin deal in a little bit, which kind of makes absolutely zero sense. I know he was a headache in the locker room, but you're talking about Baldwin and a bunch of no-names, Jermaine Kearse becoming the number one, number two receivers. The Seahawks are in trouble. Do I think they rebound? Yes. I think this is still a playoff team. Would you think this team at 3-3 is not a playoff team? I think they are.
I think they are, but I don't think it's a lock like you would have thought coming into the year because the NFC is so strong.
And the West is very strong.
Yeah, if Arizona or San Francisco wins that division, you look at the North with when you have the Lions and the Packers playing the way they are. And you know what? You have the Cowboys and Eagles there. This is a tough NFC where the Seahawks can no longer take anything for granted.
And we were talking about 10 wins possibly not getting you into the playoffs. We're talking about the Colts, Seahawks, Niners, Cowboys coming up for the Giants. Now, I think we can agree here, you need to win 2 of 4 of those at this point. You got to win 2 of 4. And it looks like we have a call. Elwood from Indianapolis. Elwood, we have so much to get into, but I'll let you talk about the Colts for a hot second.
great game today.
Yeah.
They opened up the roof because it was a fairly nice day out and everything. So, yeah, it's kind of fun without Peyton there. It actually goes by the weather now instead of what Peyton says. But, yeah, great game today. Look, was a beast. I mean, he controlled that whole game.
I'm telling you, they have a shot to get to the Super Bowl if he's playing like he's playing. And the defense, we didn't expect the Colts defense to show up like they have. And today, a shutout against probably a playoff team in the Bengals. I mean, that shows you
and
something. So
Trent Richardson, I saw a marked improvement. Now, Grant, I'm choosing my words very carefully. I saw an improvement. So I got one of his jerseys for a couple bucks on the ultra clearance when he first came, and he stunk, and they hurried up and threw him on there. So that may be a wise investment down the road, but I saw a market improvement. And I think if Reggie hadn't hurt his elbow, they'd have done even better. But I tell you what, the Colts dominated that game. And I was getting a little nervous at the front of the start of the season because, you know, they lost to the Eagles.
Well, Elwood, you're crazy for worrying at the beginning of the season. You knew they were going to turn around. And thanks for the call. We don't have a ton of time. We got Mark Berman of the New York Post. He covers the New York Knickerbockers, and the NBA season is just a week away. But
going with the long form with the Knickerbockers there,
yeah,
huh?
I mean, the New York Islanders, who are 4-1 right now, and the best team in New York, may I say?
Can I
whisper that?
No, you can't whisper that.
I can't.
Still got New York Rangers with a big shutout today, but we're not going to get into
that. What is the Rangers record now?
I think they're 3-3.
3-3.
Yeah. Hey, that's 6 points.
Okay. All right. I think the Islanders, I'm going to say it, they're the best team in hockey in New York. I think they're better than the Rangers.
Good. Enjoy October. Talk to me in April.
But let's get back into the football here. So we were talking about the Colts, Seahawks, Niners, Cowboys. You win 2 of 4 of those, you're in it. You lose 3 out of 4 of those, that puts you at 7 losses, and you say the season's over at that point.
Exactly. You can't lose 7 in the NFC. The Giants won a Super Bowl at 9-7. 9-7 isn't going to get you in when the NFC is this loaded. They can't afford it. So you know what? You have your bye week. You lick your wounds. You hope that Beeson is okay off the toe injury. Colin Jenkins looks like it could be a long-term injury. He's going to get an MRI. You hope that Jennings comes back.
And you hope JPP shows up on the defensive line.
Exactly. JPP, it's unbelievable. Some plays, he looks like he could still be the best defensive end in football. And other plays, he's invisible. Would you pay JPP at the end of the year?
You're asking if I am down with JPP.
Are you down with JPP?
I am down with JPP. I actually have his autographed hat in my possession right now. I know, Elwood, you're probably watching on the studio webcam, photoshopping photos of me with Andrew Luck right now. But here's the thing. You win 2 of 4 of those. There is a bright spot at the end of the tunnel with the Jaguars, Titans, Redskins, Rams, Eagles. And don't look at the Eagles in that last week as a team who's going to be dying for victory because they could be playing their backups in that game. We could see Mark Sanchez potentially knock the Giants out of the playoffs.
Something?
Oh, my goodness. But right now, if you have to say it, can we agree the Giants are not a playoff team, barring a miracle?
Oh, yeah. I think if you put them in the AFC, you have a much better conversation. Yep. But you can't. The NFC right now, you got to win those division games. And they lost both those back-to-back road division games. You have to take care of business.
Giants don't go 9-7 or better. I know we disagree on this. I love Tommy C., but he's got to go.
I disagree.
He's got to go.
I totally disagree. If they go 6-10 and absolutely fall apart, if they're showing competitive football and they've kind of retooled and rebuilt this team a bit this year, I think this is a team that could be on the come. And, again, I mentioned this to you before the show. If you get rid of Coughlin and you bring in a new head coach, he might look to bring in his own offensive coordinator, at least have his say. So you're going to make Eli now learn another offense in another year at his age. I don't think you do that.
Ben McAdoo. I feel like he's always supposed to be at 95, but he's on another highway. Just when you look at him, he always looks like he's completely lost and on another planet. He's always looks like he's scratching his head. There's something weird about him. Do you notice that?
He's a little off. He's a little
like a deer in the headlights.
I think he's still figuring it out. This is the first time calling plays full time, but I don't hate his – I hated his play calling today, but through seven games, this was the only game I've necessarily disagreed with his play calling. So by the end of the year, if this offense shows that it's clicking and the system's working, I think that may save Coughlin, if that makes any sense.
Does he look like a guy who could star in a 70s porno to you? He kind of has
Starsky
that.
And Hutch, maybe.
Like a Daniel Murphy with a stash. You have Murphy in one scene and McAdoo in the other. Stars of New York.
McAdoo's – you could just see him crushing Natty Lights in the parking lot before the game, too, with like a cut-off flannel.
Oh, my goodness. Again, you're listening to Sports Talk 1240 at JB Sports Radio, at Sean Marash. CBS. Two CBS employees in the building.
How about that?
We're repping right now.
I on WGBB.
We're repping the number one sports radio show in Long Island right now. I could say that with a fact.
I'll take it.
All right. Now, the Cowboys. We shift from the Giants to the Cowboys. Before we get into Percy Harvin, because you know I got a whole lot to say about the Jets, and if you follow me on Twitter, you see that I have... on different stages, I've said everything I could about the Jets, and there's just so much you could say. But the Cowboys right now, you look at their schedule ahead, Sean, and they could potentially be a 10-2 team in 4 to 5 weeks.
It's pretty incredible. It's scary to think that, you know, this was a team I went on record saying I thought they would be like a 5-11. I thought the defense would be that bad.
And
you know what? As they stand, 6 wins right now. Now, you're always waiting for the Dallas Cowboys.
Choke.
Yeah, the wheels to fall off, Romo in that last game throwing picks. But as it stands right now, you're telling me the Cowboys aren't going to win 4 more games the rest of the year?
4-5. They're in the playoffs.
It's unbelievable.
It's something that nobody would have predicted. We called them the worst defense in NFL history. I know guys like Ross Tucker, the former lineman, he called them the worst defense
in
NFL history.
Said it on the DA show, as a matter of fact.
Said it on the DA show. So there you go. And they have shocked the world. And you know what? They're allowing the most yards per play. So don't tell me that their defense has been dominant. They've just really been led by the offensive line. It's trickled down to everything. They've established the run, which they've never done before. You're watching Tony Romo play some of the best football of his career. And we could say it, even as fans of the New York Giants, Tony Romo is a tremendous quarterback who doesn't
he's underappreciated.
Get appreciated. Yep.
No, he's underappreciated. And as you said, when you run the ball and you play the offensive line like that, you control the time of possession. I think the Cowboys controlled the ball for like 36 minutes today. If you're going to dominate in time of possession, more than likely you're going to win games. Your defense isn't gassed. They're sitting there and they're fresh and they can make enough plays.
And transition to something else in the game. Can Troy Aikman stop calling Dallas Cowboy games?
Brutal.
I mean, he is the biggest homer I have ever seen. It is pathetic. Why do they allow this bum to call the games? Great quarterback, solid color commentator, but don't allow him on a Cowboys game ever again because he was so biased in this game. And I had someone tweeting me saying you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. Shut up. I mean, he was biased. He's not permitted to call another one of these games.
It is very hard for Troy Aikman to hide his Cowboys love. He can't hide it. Right out of the gate, I mean, there was a play early in the game where I believe it was Quinton Demps came in, missed the sack, and Romo, all Romo did was turn around and get out of basically a missed tackle. And Troy Aikman commented on that play and acted like that was classic Romo. It was just a clear missed tackle. Romo didn't do anything special there. It's just the love fest he has with the Cowboys. And you know what? I know Strahan has a love fest pregame, but this is on the game. It was a little much.
I mean, keep it in your pants, Troy Aikman. Talking about 70s pornos. I mean, Troy Aikman is just ridiculous. But you know what? That's another thing for another
Cowboys
day.
With that record, they're going to be a lot of America's Game of the Week on Fox. You're going to see a lot of Aikman on the Cowboys.
America's team. Oh, it makes me want to vomit all
over
the
mic. Hey, nice to see the Dallas Cowboys home fans showed up today.
Hey,
they actually had a home field advantage.
One of my friends was there from Hofstra, a Giant fan, and he took a video of the walk of shame Cowboys fans like attacking him after the game. But hey, they showed up. And they have 110,000 seats, so they better be throwing.
Wait, what was with? Can we close the side there? What was with the sun at there? What was Jerry Jones doing?
I mean, I think he was clearly trying to distract Eli Manning. It was in Eli's face and the Giants receivers. What was that all about?
It makes no sense.
I mean, Jerry Jones, does he ever make sense? Does
no,
this guy ever
never,
make sense?
Never.
I mean, he's busy getting pictures leaked with porn stars and strippers.
Or picking his nose in the press box.
And enough of showing him in the press box. I mean, it's a sideshow with the Dallas Cowboys. We're always seeing Jerry Jones this. We're seeing him always and every move he makes. I don't care what an 80-year-old owner is doing in the booth. I really don't. So you don't need to show me his
every move. He's an 80-year-old general manager. You got to look at it that way. They're showing the general manager.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? If he's got good looking woman in the booth with him.
Never does, though.
All fine with it.
It's always his fat head son.
We never see him with a hottie. We just see him with old people and his fat son.
Is there anything worse than when Rob Ryan was there? They would always show him, fat head Stephen Jones, and then Rob Ryan with that big gut on the sidelines.
Need to see that.
What a disgusting
show. Enough's enough.
And now they got Rod Marinelli there losing his mind, dropping F-bombs left and right there.
Wasn't Rod Marinelli in the movie Waterboy as the coach of the opposing team?
No.
Someone needs to tweet me that, whoever's listening. I'm pretty sure it was him, but I'm not sure. But before we get into the Jets and Percy Harvin, which we got to get into a little bit because Mark Berman's joining us in like 5 minutes to talk Knicks, Bob from Queens is on the line. Bob, how you doing tonight?
Good. Again, I've got to say, good quarterbacks and great quarterbacks. Eli, good game, still lost. Romo, great game and won. I mean, that's the difference between a good and great quarterback.
How are you going to point the finger at Eli Manning when the defense is missing about four guys? They give Tony Romo all day, and your tight end fumbles it twice. I mean, and the play calling, the time management that I didn't even mention, we were talking about this all from the second quarter on. A minute 20 left, they waste 40 seconds. They don't use any of their timeouts. And you're going to blame it on Eli Manning? Are you kidding?
We needed to see more of that fourth quarter drive from Eli at 6 minutes and 32 seconds.
Whoa. They drove it right down their throats.
Their offense was fine.
We needed to see that all game, and we didn't see it. And, Eli is no Brady, and he's no Romo. He's a good quarterback. He had a solid game today, and, I'm not big on Eli. Solid game, but you know what? We needed him to have a great game. He just didn't do it. He didn't have a great game. They needed a great game out of him. He's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. A Hall of Fame quarterback wins that game today.
Did you happen to see, I'm not sure if you saw, he tied Y.A. Tittle for 18th all-time in touchdowns. Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer, and thanks for the call. We got to go to break because Mark Berman is about to be on the line. Thanks, Bob, for the call. But Eli Manning, can we call him a Hall of Famer?
Well, listen, and his point, too, if you put Tony Romo on the 2007-2011 teams, are the Giants winning? Is Romo making that throw to Mario Manningham, Super Bowl 40? I don't know.
Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer, surefied at this point.
I'll go to war with Eli Manning before Tony Romo still. I tell you that.
Two Super Bowls over a guy who doesn't win in the playoffs? You know what? He had a little bit of that curse uplifted when he beat the Seahawks over the snap way back when he fumbled that snap that lost him the game. But this is a regular season game. Let's see what Romo does come playoff time. And there's still a little inkling in me that sees the Cowboys choking. I just see it. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I don't know if they keep this up. There's going to be some injury. You saw DeMarco Murray get hurt a little bit today. And those toe injuries, really, people don't realize. John Beeson, it's been killing him. It's been killing him. You put all the pressure on the toe.
You hurt a toe, it destroys you, yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. But speaking of guys being hurt, Percy Harvin is known for hurting guys, not on the field, but in the locker room and training camp the week of the Super Bowl. Now, the Jets acquire Percy Harvin for a mid-round pick. I think they said it ended up being a sixth-round pick. It's a win-win deal for the Jets in this case. One, you can cut him after the season. There's no problem with that. Two, he is locked up, so you do have him if you want him. And if you don't want him right now, you're smoking something if you're John Idzik and Woody Johnson and Rex Ryan, because the Jets' offense is terrible. And now you throw Jeremy Curley in the slot. You have Decker on one side, Harvin on the other, and you have a special teams player. And you know what? He's not costing a fortune. It's not like if you do keep him,
nope,
he's costing a fortune. So it's a win-win. But then the news comes out of the locker room problems. Didn't work out with Russell Wilson. Punched Golden Tate. Left Greg Baldwin a cut on his chin. And that's something you got to be a little bit concerned about, right?
I would think. I mean, Santonio Holmes wasn't exactly a stand-up locker room guy, and they got rid of him fast enough. But you know what? The Jets don't have anything to lose here. If he is a problem, at the end of the year, you pull the trigger. It won't cost too much guaranteed money to cut him, if any at all. And I think you also pointed this out, too. You find out what Geno has when you put guys like Percy Harvin and Decker there. If Geno is truly a quarterback, it may not be enough to salvage the season, but at least they make a run to have a respectable record and show that the offense is making strides and you can work with Geno going forward.
Yeah, that was something I was emphasizing to you before because I think Geno right now, he's the quarterback. I mean, Michael Vick's not starting. We're going to see Geno. Now, see what you have with legitimate targets. Now, you have Decker. You have Percy. Can Jason Morrow catch a ball? I mean, what Jason Morrow had one ball to him in the Patriot game. The Jets lose 27-25. They don't call the penalty in the field goal where the ref moved the guy over. Looked like it could have been a penalty. Patriots, of course, getting away with that. But you know what? The Jets didn't deserve to win that game. But Jason Morrow, they picked this guy to become the starting tight end. And this guy can't catch if his life depended on it. Can we see Jason Morrow catch the freaking football? He's 6'6", 260. Catch a football, please.
Well, remember, Martellus Bennett had those problems when he was a rookie with the Cowboys. I mean, that's famous in that hard knock stuff. And he's ended up becoming a pretty good tight end in his career.
I don't know.
I know it's frustrating now.
It's so frustrating.
But you give him time. He's still a rookie. You give him time.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets now 1-6. And if you're one of those idiotic knuckleheads, that guy's a knucklehead. This is terrible, 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 terrible. You Jet fans are terrible who are thinking that – now I'm just changing to George Bush right there.
Yeah, what are you?
I'm just doing all sorts of –
Caliendo Jr.
Can you do a Tom Coughlin impression?
We're going to fight. We're going to keep on fighting. It doesn't matter if we're 3-4. We're going to get there. We're going to burn the boats, and we're going to keep on moving.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
I thought it was kind of bad. I've had better days.
But my attempted you Jet fans are knuckleheads. I'm just telling you knuckleheads if you think they're making the playoffs this year. You guys are a bunch of knuckleheads. You should go watch the Denver Nuggets and eat a couple chicken nuggets. But, I mean, the Jets aren't getting to the playoffs. Maybe they go 9-7, maybe 8-8. But that would take miraculous things happening. That would take flying cars to happen. That would take you running to the Jersey Shore from here in a Speedo.
I would never make it. My knees would give out.
What's the new thing? Tell our listeners the new thing. We'll get you a little plug of the new thing that you're trying that you just got.
I am trying some slimming powder that I'm pretty sure is made for women. It's by a bikini company in Florida, D-Dikini. And I will be, starting this week, I'm going to be using it as a meal supplement, mixing it up. And I'm going to see how much weight I could drop between that and going to the gym. It's time to rein back and lose a couple rolls.
I appreciate that. You know what? I'm a big guy and I appreciate.
Listen, you watched football with me today. You saw how much I ate.
Oh,
I can't be doing that every day.
I'm going to be interested to see the results of this thing because maybe I will try it out as well.
How about that? We could spread the wealth a little bit.
We could all do it. Get the name out there. Maybe they become a sponsor. It
would be great. Why not?
Let's make some money off of this.
Let's make some money.
Let's do it. You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. We're just all over the place right now, but we're going to go to a break because we're going to shift scenes. You know what? The NBA season is right around the corner. I am jacked up. I'm pumped. You know what? The Knicks won't be great, but how good will they be? How good will Derek Fisher be? Will Amari Stoudemire be able to play 35 minutes a game? We'll answer all those questions and a whole lot more. Knicks season preview with the New York Post's Mark Berman. Nets preview. And the World Series is days away. Do the Royals finish the magical season with their first title in 30 years? We'll answer all those questions and a whole lot more. It's Jake Brown, Sean Marash, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone.
Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip change. Use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York. Breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
We're back on Sports Talk 1240. Jake Brown, Sean Marash, at JB Sports Radio, at Sean Marash, CBS. You can download the show on iTunes. Tomorrow morning it will be available at Sports Talk 1240. You'll find it on Twitter, sportstalk1240.com. We got you covered. We talked all NFL in the first half and about the disgrace right now. That is the New York Jets and the New York Giants, both likely to miss the playoffs. But there is a team getting underway that plays at Madison Square Garden. That is not the New York Rangers. That is the New York Knicks. And for that, to break down the season with us right now, is the New York Post beat writer for the New York Knicks, Mark Berman. Mark, good evening. How was your off season?
Well, after Carmelo Anthony resigned, it was, you know, fairly quiet. That was the big mystery, and he resigned, and then the Knicks added a couple of pieces, Jason Smith as a free agent, and then Quincy Acey and Travis Outlaw were obtained in a trade. But, you know, after the Melo acquisition or the resigning, the Knicks basically were content to go into training camp, you know, pretty much status quo.
Now, they get Jose Calderon, and for me, that could be the big difference. Raymond Felton, I mean, it was impossible to watch this guy. He couldn't play offense. He was getting beat on defense. How do you think Jose Calderon is going to fit in this triangle offense? Is he a guy that significantly, single-handedly makes the Knicks a better team?
Yeah, I mean, it's their biggest hope for them to be a much-improved team. Obviously, Felton had a terrible season. 2 years ago, he was very adequate, and the Knicks won 54 games. He was injury-prone through most of his career, but last year was just a disaster. He was injured. When he was healthy, he didn't play defense. He was erratic shooting the ball and wasn't a playmaker. Calderon is exactly the opposite offensively. He's a very nice shot maker, a very reliable three-point shooter, but you know his main theme is to set guys up. And he didn't know the triangle before training camp. He's picked it up very quickly. He knows his role. He doesn't try to overdo things. He's a calming influence, a great guy. Everyone likes him. Very nice to the media, a gentleman. Again, the Knicks' biggest hope for them to have a turnaround season is Jose Calderon.
Mark, listen, I saw you wrote tonight about Kurt Rambis on the Knicks coaching staff. A lot of fans have their questions about Derek Fisher coming in. Obviously, he's going to run the triangle. And you saw what happened last year. The Nets got off to a slow start with Jason Kidd as the first year of his head coaching career. Is Kurt Rambis the key to making sure Fisher doesn't have the same kind of growing pains early in the season the way Jason Kidd did last year?
Yeah, he's as much a key as Phil Jackson, who has been, as I wrote in my story, very hands-off, surprisingly so, in training camp, letting the coaching staff bond together. Rambis is the glue to the staff. Again, he's got a lot of experience as a Lakers assistant for 13 years. Obviously, four championships with the Lakers. as an assistant coach with Phil Jackson, also coached Derek Fisher, knows the triangle well. And, you know, when the media is let into practice, we often see it's Rambis, you know, giving his discourse to the players. He's very vocal. And he just has been around the block, and he's able to really, you know, tell Derek, you know, give him all these suggestions. And surrounded by Rambis, having Phil Jackson to fall back on to ask any questions, you know, Derek's in a good situation, a better situation than Jason Kidd ever was. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Jason fought with his top assistant, Lawrence Frank, and that was a very bad situation and contributed to the Knicks to the Nets' very poor start last year.
All right, so we won't see a Jason Kidd situation where he's telling Lawrence to shut up. He'll take any advice he could get from Kurt Rambis. Again, we're talking with Mark Berman of the New York Post, at New York Post underscore Berman, Jake Brown, Sean Marash here on Sports Talk 1240. Talking New York Knicks, the season gets underway next week. It's about time it's here now. Derek Fisher, how's the team responded to him? A great leader with the Thunder, a good veteran presence. Do you see him becoming successful immediately with the Knicks this year?
Well, I mean, his success may not reflect in the wins and losses off the bat. Knicks have a very tough November and a very tough, especially first four games. But I think he really got the respect of the players right away. Even a player like Iman Shumpert talked about how the guy, it seems like he's been doing this forever. I mean, that's the vibe he gives off, that he already goes in with a lot of experience because he was like a player coach for the last 10 years of his career. And when I followed, you know, they sent me out to Oklahoma City and to San Antonio to cover that series, the Western Conference Finals, to talk to Derek because he was obviously the lead candidate for the Knicks job. And talking to Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Nick Collison, they all talked about the leadership that Derek Fisher brings, even though he was in a minor role. He was sort of the voice in the locker room when it was in Scott Brooks. So it's not surprising. But again, the wins and losses, I don't know what it's going to be like in November. They're still learning the triangle. But he's got the respect of the players, and that's the most important thing at this stage.
And with the triangle, obviously Andre Bargnani missed a couple last couple of preseason games. Who cares? But does Andre Bargnani become a big factor? Because I'm hearing that this offense works great for Andre Bargnani. We're going to see him make threes. He's going to become the player that he was with the Raptors. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, I mean, we keep hearing that, oh, this is going to be good for Andrea. Even last season, the new change of scenery after getting away from Toronto. There's just this, even the one game he played, there wasn't a chemistry with Carmelo, and, you know, defensively he's a little slow, and he just doesn't have a lot of energy. He doesn't give off a great vibe on the court. They were terrible in that opener when Bargnani played. He's been out for the last three games. He'll miss Monday night's game also. So he's behind the eight ball, and when the season starts, he's not going to be a starter. I think Derek Fisher and Phil Jackson envision that, but his hamstring injury continues to linger. He's become injury prone. He's getting a lot of bad luck falling his way. I'm still up in the air on whether Bargnani is going to be a big factor. They're getting contributions from Quincy Acey, from Jason Smith. Stoudemire is healthy and can play this offense too because he's got a mid-range jumper. So I'm still very skeptical on whether Bargnani is going to have a big effect this year.
Well, Mark, you mentioned Smith. You mentioned Stoudemire, obviously. A lot of Knicks fans need to know right now, opening night, what's their starting five look like?
Well, I think four guys are solidified with Calderon and Shumpert at the shooting guard and Melo obviously at the three and Dalham there at center. And then it's about the power forward. And it's up in the air. Quincy Acey, again, energy guy, defender, not much of a offensive player, but he started the past three games in preseason. I think they may give Jason Smith a little run tomorrow as the starter. Maybe Amari will also, it's up in the air. Fisher hasn't decided, but the starting power forward position is the one slot that's unsettled, but at least they have a lot of depth there. And Fisher has, as he says, it's nice we have 15 guys who can play, but it makes it very tough on him to figure out this rotation and even to figure out that starting five, although I believe four of the five starters are solidified.
So you got to bet your job right now. Who's the starting power forward? Who do you think, in your opinion, not Derek Fisher, who does Mark Berman think the Knicks power forward should be opening night?
To be honest, if it was up to me, I would take Stoudemire.
Okay.
I think he finished April in a very strong, positive way. And as of the story, you know, when Woodson finally put him in the starting lineup, I think he's their best player. Fisher keeps saying it's not about the best player, it's about the best fit, the five-man chemistry unit, and that's why Quincy is getting a lot of run, because he's a good glue guy, doesn't need the ball, you know, is a smart player, and again, high energy. But, boy, I would put Stoudemire there with Carmelo and play your best players. I think Fisher could be overthinking it.
But, Mark, what are we going to see with Stat this year? We hear all these minutes restrictions. He's going to come off the bench. Is he capable of playing 35 minutes a game?
I mean, well, not 35, but 30 for sure, which okay. is enough. You got a lot of depth at that in the big man positions. But you hear Phil and Derek talk, and I think that's what's holding them back about making him a starter is they feel that he's, you know, one bad step away or one 30-minute game away from him breaking down where he has to miss a week or two. Listen, he has very little cartilage left in his knees. He's tried so many things to recover. They are pacing him during training camp. But I still say you play your best five. He stayed relatively healthy last year, final year of his contract. I just run him. I just see what he's got, and if he breaks down, he breaks down. But again, the guy has a nice low post game. Again, fits well in the triangle because he could make the 16-footer. But again, Fisher is, you know, dabbling with a different combinations.
You mentioned Shumpert being a lock for the starting five. A, does he fit what Fisher is looking to do here with the triangle? Obviously, I know he's more of a defender. And B, is this going to be another season for Shumpert where he's just surrounded by trade rumors?
Well, he is in the final year of his contract. October 31st will probably come and pass without him signing an extension on his rookie deal. I hope that's not the case because it really affected his mind last year. Fisher likes him as a starter because of his defensive prowess and his energy.
But Mark, he's got to show up. He's been so inconsistent.
Yeah, he lost confidence last year. I'm going to blame it on Woodson. Mm-hmm. I happen to be a very big Iman fan from his rookie year. I think he has potential to be a very good outside shooter. He didn't show it last year, but I think his mind was in the wrong spot. He's had a nice preseason. I'd like to see him start. I'd like to see JR come off the bench in that six-man role. JR has a good attitude this year, but his shot isn't there right now. But I'm sure he'll regain it at some point. I'd like to see Iman as the starting shooting guard.
It'll be interesting to see because I got to see something from him. Because one game he'll be great. You'll see 27, 7, and 7. Then the next game he won't be on in the box score. You won't even see his name there. So we got to see that from Iman Shumpert. We're talking with Mark Berman, New York Post _ Berman on Twitter. Jake Brown, Sean Marash here on Sports Talk 1240. The Knicks season gets underway in just a week. Mark, what is this roster going to look like? Let's cut it down to 12 men. We know all the possibilities. Can you give me the 7 bench spots? There's questions with Shane Larkin. Does he make it? Does this guy Ware, who's come out of nowhere, make it over Outlaw? A lot of questions. Give me your 7 bench spots right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a 15-man roster, 12 guys dress each night.
Yeah.
But when you mentioned Travis Ware, I thought he had a little bit of a chance. But to be honest, after practice today, we spoke to Travis and we kind of really pinned Derek down. And indications were that the guaranteed contracts are going to win out. Travis has a very tiny guarantee. I think the Knicks, you know, Fisher praised his game, a very talented player with a very nice jump shot and fits well in the triangle. And the Knicks really would like him to stay in the D-League in their system with Westchester. But I don't see him cracking the top 15. Question is, what are they going to do with Travis Atwell, who looks like a shot player right now? He's had a terrible preseason, looks like he doesn't belong, but he's a guaranteed guy, maybe to give him a little bit of a chance. But you mentioned Larkin, definitely looking at him as the backup point guard. Fisher loves the change of pace, the speed he brings. Unfortunately, he's turnover prone and inexperienced, but this isn't a team looking to win the championship right now. And that brings you to what's Pablo's role, Prigioni, that is, and I'm not even sure. But listen, they have a lot of depth, and you know, we talked about Jason Smith and Stoudemire possibly coming off the bench. I think Fisher's going to have a tough time cutting it to a 10-man rotation when it's all said and done. But right now, I don't see Avila in that rotation at all.
And now Cole Aldridge, you don't see him making it?
I mean, I see him as a guy who will step in during injuries, but didn't show enough in training camp yet. But a very good depth guy, especially at the center position. And they have guys who, again, break down, like Bargnani and Stoudemire and Dahlenberg. Who knows, you know, if he stayed healthy for many years, but his minutes haven't been that high. So Cole could play a role down the road, but I don't think he'll be in the rotation to start the year.
All right, so Calderon, JR, Mello, Bargnani, Dahlemere, Prigioni, Larkin, Shumpert, Hardaway Jr., AC, Amari, Smith, and Cleanthony Early, that would mean starts in the D League for the year, correct?
Well, I mean, he'll be on the 15-man roster, but, you know, the great thing about this D League situation, having the team in Westchester, is Cleanthony could play one night in Westchester for the D League team, and then the next day, they can make the roster move and put him back as an active guy and have him go on a road trip so he could practice with the team and be around the team. But Cleanthony didn't show enough in summer league. You know, they got Quincy Acey in that trade. He's still a little bit raw. They really like him. Part of the future. Don't see him in the rotation right this second.
All right, Mark, let's wrap it up here. They get the new head coach. Melo's back. They got the depth. Where does this team finish in the East? What's the win total that you have them around, and where does this team finish when the season's all said and done?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of projections where they're a little bit below 500 in the 41-40 range. I see them 43-44 wins. I mean, there's still a lot of characters from 2 years ago when they won 54 games. I think that Derek is going to make a very nice transition, and I think this triangle offense, once December hits, I think they're going to really gel, and Carmelo's going to have a nice season. I see a 43-win year, which I think is good enough for the 7th or 8th seed. Listen, the Eastern Conference is not top-heavy. You know, I don't know. You know, Cleveland and Chicago probably are the two best teams, but there's still chemistry issues with those clubs, and the Derrick Rose riddle, you know, depending on how healthy he stays. But the East is deep. And who falls out of the playoff race? Is Atlanta going to be the team to fall out? Obviously, Indiana should fall out of the race. But the Knicks have to be concerned because of the depth of the Eastern Conference. But I still think they make it. And then hope in 2015 they could get Marcus Hull.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. You pair him with Calderon and hopefully get someone else. I'm going to go 45 wins. I like where you're at. I think they make the playoffs. And the depth is encouraging, and salary cap next year, of course, is encouraging. Mark Berman, New York Post _ Berman, does a terrific job there. Mark, we'll talk to you throughout the season. And buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun year, and thanks very much for having me on.
Yeah, no problem at all. Mark Berman, you could go check him out. New York Post does an awesome job there. Been covering them for a while. I'm going 45 wins and the 7th seed in the East. Where do you put them?
I think they missed the playoffs.
Wow.
I do. I think they missed the playoffs.
Tweet that out there, Luke, at Sports Talk 1240. What? Can you give me an explanation? Because I think the depth that they have really helps if you do suffer injuries. Obviously, they don't have studs. I mean, we're talking about Jason Smith and Quincy Acey, but you got a lot of guys on the roster.
They have depth, but they only have Melo and Calderon in that starting five that I consider big time. And is Calderon even big time? I mean, I think in a way, as much as Calderon's going to help run the point and run that offense, I understand that. just not enough sizzle there. In the NBA, it's about sizzle. I don't love that team. And I think they're
– Shumpert, you got to see something from him.
You're absolutely right. And you know what? Melo still doesn't play defense, I guess. Toronto is going to win the division. I still think Brooklyn's better. I think the Knicks just miss out, and they're the ninth team.
And the Nets get to the playoffs.
I think the Nets get to the playoffs, and they're in the 6-8 range.
And let's transition with that into the Nets. He says Knicks miss it. I say the Knicks get the 7 with 45 wins. The Nets. Brook Lopez again, out again. Can this guy stay in the freaking basketball court? I'm sick of him injuring his foot. He's turning into a Manute Bol or Yao Ming, where injuries are going to end his career at this point. And the Nets are going to need him, Mraz, because Kevin Garnett can't man the paint himself. He can't do it with Bojan Bogdanovic. He can't do it with Kirilenko and Teletovic. They need Brook Lopez on the court, and they need him fast.
They do. A big man with foot injuries is never good, and that's going to be an issue. Now, he hopefully comes back and he plays, but he could re-injure something later on. I think the key is the guy you didn't even mention. The key is Mason Plumlee.
Mm-hmm.
I think he needs to make a turn here. He showed a lot of signs last year.
Got to extend his jump shot.
He does, absolutely. He has some work. He has a lot of room to grow. I actually like Plumlee as a player, and I think by the end of the year, Plumlee becomes a serious piece to the Nets' future.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even throw him in there. But you're right. He really was huge in his rookie year. He was really just a dunk machine. He couldn't do anything else. He couldn't make free throws. He couldn't shoot. He couldn't do anything else. But he got boards. He would block shots. And he'll always be known for blocking the king.
Play of the year for the Nets.
Play of the year.
Play of the year. And Darren Williams obviously is the key to the Nets. The ankles, guy's got to be healthy.
And when we look at the head coach, you upgrade. You get rid of the coward Jason Kidd who bolted and took Larry Drew's job and slapped him across the face. You look at Lionel Hollins as a defensive presence. He gives the Nets something that they didn't have last year. And he's going to be huge for them in terms of preaching defense and preaching just playing every play. The Nets had a lot of times last year where it looked like they gave up with Jason Kidd at the helm. Because Jason Kidd, you know what? He's not a great head coach. He's a first-year head coach. You bring in the veteran Hollins. And I think he makes them a better team, just his basketball IQ. I think he makes them better.
He gets more out of his players than most coaches do. He pretty much got run out of Memphis for pretty much, I don't
know. For what reason?
For what reason?
We still don't know.
What he did with that roster. In a league that's driven by superstars, was not a roster made up of superstars. Yeah. And he got the most out of him. And you know what? Jason Kidd might be a coward for the long run of this Nets team. That was probably the best move for the franchise. Not that they could control that. Yeah. But that they get Lionel Hollins in here.
I mean, Kidd, what a disgrace. I had a whole rant on one of my shows about him. My favorite player of all time, and he just completely let me down with how he handled that. Just so unprofessional. Nets, how many wins we're talking? I'm going to say 47 wins. I think they finish either the six. If the Knicks are 45, I say the Knicks sixth seed, the Nets sixth seed, and 47 wins.
I was going to say 47 wins. I think you're spot on. I think they're right around that sixth seed.
So we're in lockstep on the Nets. We got a couple of minutes left in the show. Nets sixth seed, we agree on 47. Mraz says the Knicks missed the playoffs. You can tweet him at Sean Mraz, CBS, if you disagree with that. I think they make the playoffs, but we'll see. You're right. There's not a lot of talent. There's a lot of depth. But there's a lot of just Melo, Calderon, and you're hoping Amari's legs don't break from underneath him. He needs to be a factor, and we got to see Shumpert take the next step, because if he's not, you know what? I don't care about emotions and that there's trade talk. You're going to have trade talk when you're stinking
the house.
You're
professional.
We're paying $200 to see you at Madison Square Garden. Don't stink it up, because it's not worth those kind of ticket prices if you're going to be that bad when you have all the talent in the world.
$206.75 if you're getting a decent hot pretzel, too.
Is that – you know they have Carnegie Deli there?
Listen, that's the whole gimmick now. When you go to these stadiums, Carnegie it's all about
Deli.
The food. Yeah, exactly. It's
I was
all
at
about
the 62-point game, and Melo's draining threes while I'm just stuffing my sandwich in my face.
You have to have it. And by the way, thankfully, if you're going to be serving those foods, they've upgraded the bathroom situations at all these new stadiums.
Yeah, I mean, the MSG is gorgeous now, the renovations that were done. We got about a couple of minutes left. Let's transition into the World Series. I mean – can you get enough of this royal story? I mean, these O's weren't royals, and I had to throw that in there. I had to throw these O's ain't royals.
It's a very cool shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Royals fan, but, I mean, they've captured America. They've captured Kansas City. They've captured Paul Rudd. They've captured Paul Rudd's mom's house. There's a Kegger's at Paul Rudd's mom's house. This whole World Series. And Kansas City, I mean, they got to be out of alcohol at this point. These last couple of weeks has been insane. They're probably
Power Light District is insane.
I mean, have they been running business in Kansas City? Their work situation, they've had to use up all their vacation days. I think we were talking about how many vacation days we get, and it's something around 25. They've probably used every single one this month.
You'd have to, right?
Well, unless you're going to work hungover.
I tell you, the women in Kansas City have to be uptight because they have all that farmland out there. Not a lot of time for the pumpkin picking, for the haunted house runs. For once, the men have October booked there.
Pumpkin picking. Perfect time of the season for that.
Right, of course. You always have time.
Have you done your pumpkin picking yet?
I did. I went. It's always
that's such a couple thing, I feel like.
I went on Saturday with my wife, and it was just, you know, frustrating. You know, arguing over the side, how much dirt the one. They all have dirt on them. How much dirt is on one side of the pumpkin.
See, you're a good husband because you do go pumpkin picking. I don't know if I would.
Listen, but she's been trained. We don't go on Sundays because it's NFL Sundays.
Right.
She always wants to go on Sundays. It has to be Saturdays, and it has to be done early because once the SEC at 3:30 starts,
and
I got to be in the mix.
Once Notre Dame, Florida State started,
exactly.
Which is an absolute instant classic, by the way.
Exactly. It had to be done early. I got the job done, but it's always – it sounds a lot better. That whole ride out there is nice whenever you go into the farms, but boy, once you're there, it's a nightmare.
I loved them when I was a kid, but now I don't know if I could do it. But, I mean, I don't have a girlfriend right now.
Yeah,
so.
Well, get one and see what happens.
I wouldn't mind it. See, I guess if you're holding hands – it's nice weather, but now it's starting to get freaking cold.
Well, luckily, it was nice on Saturday. I got
Saturday
it in.
Was gorgeous.
I
yeah.
got it in before it got freezing.
All right, so perfect timing. Let's transition back to sports. From pumpkin picking, we don't have our pumpkin spice coffees in studio right now. We're not 13-year-old girls. We're not going to Instagram those. But the World Series, I'm taking the Royals over the Giants because right now they haven't lost. They haven't lost since September 27th. Lorenzo Cain is turning into a superstar in front of our eyes. They have a bullpen that nobody realizes that's a way you win games. Nobody has the bullpen. Wade Davis, he put up a year that was historic, a 1 ERA as a middle reliever. Greg Holland was the best closer in the league. They have very good starting pitching. The pitching has dominated for them, and now they've gotten the timely hitting. I'm taking the Royals in six. They win it at home in front of their fans, and that celebration is going to be bonanzas. Who you taking?
I'm going Royals in four. I think they go through the postseason unblemished.
Take out the brooms, folks. I really wanted to do that, too, but there's something about this Giants team I see them winning, too, and it would be so Giants if they win this series. And you know what? We could call the San Francisco Giants a dynasty. Three World Series in 5 years.
It's incredible.
Meanwhile,
incredible.
The Yankees are working on their par 60 on the Trump Ryder
which
Club.
Just goes to show you, by the way, with the everybody blames the Yankees winning and being the playoffs all the time for the late draft picks. The Cardinals and Giants don't have a problem when they're drafting and bringing these guys up, drafting at the back end.
Tremendous job. And a tremendous job by Mraz coming in the studio. By the way, he lives like right behind the studio. It's pretty incredible how close he is. A great day of sports. The Giants obviously lose, but a terrific football today. The Giants will have a bye, get Jennings back in a couple of weeks, and try to right the ship. Jake Brown, Sean Mraz, a.k.a. Mraz, Sean Mraz, CBS, JB Sports Radio, at Sports Talk 1240. I'm going to see you all in a couple of weeks. I appreciate everyone listening. You can download the podcast tomorrow morning and all week. On iTunes, JakeRyanBrown.com, SportsTalk1240.com. Everyone, enjoy your fall night, and I'll see you and talk to you all in just a couple of weeks.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.